from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Let's see. Let me do a check here. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G.
Hey.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Did you enjoy the sunshine? Did you enjoy the sunshine yesterday?
Not really. I don't really want to talk about what I did yesterday.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I did.
What'd you do?
After watching the Seahawks win, which was awesome, and we'll talk about that. But I went on a nice long walk with Scooter. I saw so many people enjoying the sunshine. I posted on my personal Facebook page a photo, and other people were sharing their photos of what they were doing in the sunshine. We needed that so badly. And you can tell, too. Here's another positive. The days are getting longer again. And you can feel it.
Yeah.
At least I felt it yesterday.
So the sun was shining yesterday.
Yes, because we've had a rough go of it. Last couple of weeks.
There's sometimes I get on this show and I say things I'm not supposed to, but I get too comfortable when I'm relaxing. I got my hot cup of coffee. But I didn't even take a shower until like 7 o'clock p.m. yesterday. I was lazy all day long. Watched the Seahawks game. It was just too much TV. Watched 1883, all kinds of stuff. Sorry, Ursula.
It's all good. It's all good, but I know a lot of people enjoyed it. So
yeah, all right. You want to tell everybody what's going on?
Yeah. So you know what you have to do when you don't want a news story to have a long shelf life, right? When's the best time to release it?
Let's see, on a Friday.
Bingo. And that is exactly what the city of Kent did. We're going to let you know what the mayor and the police chief said in a video that was released at 9 p.m. on Friday. You're going to hear that right after Heather's newscast at the bottom of the hour. Also, are a lot of your coworkers calling in sick? That is going to be a thing this week, G. And we'll tell you why experts are predicting up to 5 million people in the U.S. are going to be too sick to work this week.
All right, let's get to it. Ursula's top news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And it was the Super Bowl that wasn't. The Seahawks played championship-level football in their final game of the season, beating Arizona 38-30, and there was no shortage of big highlights.
Homer in the backfield. Russ is going to throw it deep. He's got a man in his locket. Makes the catch at the 5. He dives for the pylon. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks! Take a bow, young man. Tyler Lockett from 43 yards out. A play fake holds the defense, and Russ just lays up a beautiful moonshot over the top. Russell Wilson has now tied, get this, Johnny Unitas for 16th place all time on the NFL's passing touchdown list with 290, and leave it to Tyler Lockett to be the man who scores the 6.
You hear about teams that are in this situation, they fall apart. And it's just about, I'm ready to leave, you know. And I think the biggest thing is our actions, you know, the way that we practiced, it said otherwise. You know, everybody was in it. Everybody was out there giving it their all.
And what a great way to end the season. But the questions remain, and they've been swirling around for much of the season. Will Russell be back? And will Pete Carroll continue as head coach? So I saw this report. According to the NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, the Seahawks have no plans to let Russell Wilson go elsewhere. But he is claiming that it is Coach Carroll's future that is cloudy after his first losing season in a decade. So what say you?
Pete Carroll's going nowhere. I can sing a song, but y'all don't want to hear me sing. He's going nowhere, and I can give you multiple reasons as to why, but I'll just kind of simply simplify it with this. It's 10 years. The Seahawks have been to the playoffs 8 out of the last 10 years. Yes, they've had a losing season. They end the season 7-10, and this has not been the season that we have wanted. But did you see quit out of this team? In 2022, the Seattle Seahawks are 2-0, baby. Hey, 2-0 right now. Pete Carroll is.
Okay. I love the optimism for. Yeah, you're right. They're undefeated this year.
Absolutely, Pete Carroll, and I like what Tyler Lockett says, and he says that this team didn't quit. usually you get down in these situations and guys are like, oh, I'm just looking forward to the off season. I'm getting ready to go to Vegas. I'm getting ready to go to Cancun. I got all these plans. But no, you continue to see the fight out of this team and what they have done. You can see Russell Wilson has gotten a lot more healthy since his surgery.
Oh, by the way, good yesterday.
By the way, I just want to remind everyone, for everybody's like, oh, it's something about Russell Wilson. It's something about getting surgery on your finger that you throw the football with. That could be tough.
I was one of those people, and I admit when I'm wrong.
I admit I'm wrong.
And so I want him to be back next year.
I'll simplify it, Ursula. Again, you have a future Hall of Famer in Pete Carroll. You have a future Hall of Famer in Russell Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, are you guys really ready for it to be done? Are you really ready for that to be the last game? And let me just give you one last piece, Ursula, to think about. When you start thinking about the stadium in which they played in Arizona, that is the first professional game that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson were ever together in when Russell Wilson was a rookie.
That's right.
If this was the last game, you would basically say that would be the last game coming up here. It is the last game that Earl Thomas played as a Seahawk in Arizona. It was the last game that Richard Sherman played as a Seahawk in Arizona. It was the last game that Cam Chancellor played as a Seahawk in Arizona. First of all, I can't stand Arizona. Can't stand it. All it is sunshine and a bunch of Chili's restaurants around there. I can't stand them.
Okay. Wait, taking a dig on Arizona. I thought we were going to be talking about the team. Okay, let's go back to the how it's not been a good place for the Seahawks, even though they won yesterday, because the other big story involving the team happened in the fourth quarter. And we all saw it, all of us who were watching. Safety Quandre Diggs suffered a horrendous injury. He was laying on the turf with his right leg mangled, and you knew it was so bad because the trainers rushed onto the field, and you could see the other players were distraught, and Quandre Diggs himself was crying as he was being carted off the field. Mm-hmm. And then Russell Wilson talked about it after the game.
I know he's a guy that deserves to get paid the right way. He's a guy that deserves to get all the accolades he's gotten in the Pro Bowl and all that stuff, but I know that he the thing about Quandre was you know, throughout this off season and stuff like that, you know, it's all negotiations and all that stuff, and I know that's challenging on an individual because, you know, a guy does, you know, he's worked his butt off every day for it, and you know what the cool thing was, he didn't change in the sense of his work ethic. You know, he committed to what was going to be. He said, okay, all right, I'm going to focus on this season and we'll see what happens after the end of the year. And you know, I think that he brought it every day. And I know that this one hurts for him, but he'll be back. You know, he'll be back. He'll be back better than ever.
So why was this especially devastating for Diggs? Just looking at how everyone reacted, including Quandre himself, and then Wilson right away saying, well, he deserves to get paid. What exactly are they talking about?
Because he was close. And when I say close, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about 8 minutes left on the play clock. Let me go to, he has been a Pro Bowl success since he's gotten here. First 2 years, he has been here with Seattle. He's made the Pro Bowl. He has been excellent. He's been outstanding. The Detroit Lions basically said, hey, Seattle, we will give you a 7th-round pick and this Quandre Diggs guy if you guys just give us a 5th-round pick. Seattle says, okay, take this 5th-round pick. Quandre Diggs comes over and he has been so good and outstanding. And you heard Russell mention, like, yeah, there was some contract negotiations at the beginning of the season, but Quandre says, you know what? I'm going to come back and play on my salary, and then we can figure it out at the end of the season. And so here Quandre Diggs does everything, has stayed amazing. Everything that I hear about Quandre Diggs is how amazing of a person that he is, a leader in that locker room. And so when you got 8 minutes left to play in the game, he goes down with an injury. It's the same injury that my good buddy Jermaine Kearse had when he was with the Detroit Lions. Same injury on that leg, dislocated ankle, broken fibula. When you have that happen, yes, he will eventually get paid. But the part that hurts is the question will always be, will he get paid as much as he would have if he wouldn't have had that injury? So that's why Russell Wilson addresses the salary. That's why you see all the faces the way they were with Seattle. And that's why you see him crying as he's leaving the field.
Wow. Okay, we'll have more. Mike Salk's going to join us after 10:30 to talk more about the future of the Seahawks. But right now, let's go to our next story. After that gorgeous sunny weekend we just had, you will unfortunately need to brace yourself again because the weather forecast is now calling for torrential downpours tomorrow and Wednesday, which will mean more flooding and avalanche danger in this area. All the snow and rain have already wreaked havoc. A family was in their home in Seattle's Magnolia neighborhood when a landslide slammed into the two-story house on Perkins Lane on Friday. We get details on that from Cairo 7 TV's Deborah Horn.
Carol Silverstein is good friends with the woman who lives here.
She said that she just heard a rumbling. It sounded like thunder, and opened the door and saw it coming.
She saw the hill coming towards her. The first floor just kind of crumbled, like cracked in half. Came down right on top of them. There is no first floor anymore.
Both the woman and her husband were in the kitchen. Both were trapped. She managed to crawl out of an opening in the debris, her friends say, but her husband had to be rescued. Sadly, their beloved dogs, Lily and Sam, were in the living room. Neither survived.
Which is terribly sad. And that's just one of a whole bunch of different stories where there have been tragic consequences regard to the weather, someone trying to rescue someone else, and now he's missing down in Chehalis, someone else driving into the river up north. It's just been an awful, awful couple of weeks. But I was thinking about this particular situation in Magnolia, because if you've ever been to Perkins Lane, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny lane, but it leads to homes that are right on a cliff. I mean, and they have the most incredible views of Puget Sound. And I have covered many stories on Perkins Lane because anytime we get a lot of rain, and we've had a lot of rain, these houses, I mean, some of these houses are in danger of sliding. And there was a time when several multi-million dollar mansions did slide into Puget Sound. And it's that question that I always ask myself, because I love view, I love views, I love water views, and it's knowing that that is a potential. Do you still want to live in an area like that?
No. Every time I see homes in these situations, or you look on the news over the years, it's always some of these homes on these type of hills, and I've always said to myself, I just couldn't do it, knowing that there is a pretty good possibility of sliding as opposed to a home that is on, you know, some flatter land. I've always thought that. And so my heart breaks for anyone who goes through a situation, especially those in Magnolia. I've always been nervous and afraid of those, Ursula.
Yes. But yet people still build, people still, you know, knowing that there is that potential. And you always think it's not going to happen to me. And I look at that and my heart breaks for those families, because I mean, that's it. I mean, they invested in this beautiful area where now there is that risk. And this home, thankfully, and unfortunately the dogs died, but the people who were in the home at the time, they were not hurt. But now they have to figure out where they have to live. And it's just, as much as I love the view and as much as I understand the allure of living there, it would be a hard sell for sure. After more than 50 people tested positive for COVID, the Walmart in Lakewood temporarily closed so that the store could be sanitized. It had to shut down on Saturday afternoon and reopen this morning. And in addition to the Lakewood store COVID cases, the Walmart on 31st Avenue in Puyallup, they reportedly had nearly 40 active cases in that store. And then another store in Tacoma had 11. But of course, what's happening at Walmart is happening basically at so many other businesses all across the country. On Friday, the U.S. recorded 900,000 new COVID cases. And gee, there's one expert who estimates 5 million people in the U.S. may be calling out sick this week alone based on the explosion of Omicron cases.
It's crazy. what is happening across the country, and especially here locally. You see what happened with Walmart. I know this morning I saw that Lake Washington High School temporary shifts to remote learning now due to staffing shortages, saying that the staffing shortages right now are linked to COVID-19 related quarantines and general illnesses and things. But Ursula, I'll give you another way of looking at this, and for everyone to look at this too. Yes, we are having a lot of people that are impacted, a lot of just private companies. We're having hospitals. All of us are being impacted by what's going on right now. But another way of looking at this is this. There are some people who don't have access or the ability to be like, hey, employer, I need to call off. So you have some people who choose not to get tested, just even if they are feeling a certain way with some sniffles, because they can't afford to take off and they still have to go to work. You have that other angle of it, so which is making the spread even more.
We can talk about what's going on with Chef. Because he's
bingo.
And he was really open about it.
Yes, he was.
A 5-year-old got COVID, and he has not tested positive as of yet. So he came into work, but our company has said, no, we want you out, just play it safe for now. And I think that's the struggle right now, because it and the struggle between, okay, are you well enough to come in? Okay, but you could still be contagious. The positive in all this is that they're saying we're still expected to potentially peak at the end of this month, which would be great. And so far, Omicron seems to be less severe, especially for those who are vaccinated. So that's the good news. And maybe there are some experts who say maybe this is the beginning of the end, and that we are looking toward COVID becoming something that is much more similar to the flu, and that we treat it that way. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. But anyway, expect a lot of people to be sick this week. Okay, still ahead. There was a news dump on Friday night, so maybe you guys haven't heard about this, but we'll tell you why Kent's mayor and the city's police chief are now apologizing. Again, we also want you to text us, as you always do, 888-973-5476. And if you haven't looked at it already, check out our Facebook page, because G put a post on there on Friday afternoon, to which I said, why did you do that? But folks were so nice, but there was something in that post that we're going to talk about coming up at 11:30. But we want you to check it out. 888-973-5476. This is the G and Ursula Show. Back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. As always, you can text us, 888-973-5476. We love interacting with you, and oftentimes you give us great story ideas. And G, we decided we were going to move a discussion from 11:30 to 9:47, and so you wanted to talk about that a little bit earlier.
Yes, the Facebook post that was made, and it seems like, I don't know, I messed up. I made a mistake, but the mistake ended up being pretty cool.
It was really, really cool.
I want to just throw myself under the bus.
Okay, sounds good. So this is a very serious story, and this is something that maybe a lot of you don't know, because it was something that was posted late on Friday. But apparently, the mayor of Kent, Dana Ralph, says that she and her administration were not aware or didn't understand the public outrage that would follow their decision not to fire that assistant police chief who posted the Nazi insignia on his office door and had also joked about the Holocaust. The city disciplined assistant chief Derek Camrazel by giving him 2 weeks off, which he could take as a vacation, and then ordered him to undergo cultural sensitivity. So on Friday night, the mayor and Kent Police Chief Rafael Padilla made a YouTube video statement, and here is part of it.
I want to apologize to the Kent community for the wound that this situation has caused and acknowledge the hurt and frustration that I have felt from Kent families. I want to thank those of you that have reached out to me and been willing to have those difficult conversations and provide constructive feedback on how we do better.
apparently they've been getting criticism from all around the world. So if you are not aware of this, this Nazi emblem incident actually happened in 2020. And the only reason this story came to light is because a Citizens Watchdog group got documents from an investigation through public disclosure requests. So they had to go through a procedure to get this information. And Mayor Dana Ralph says they were trying to keep the city from legal retaliation from the police union by giving Camrazel the very light, or essentially no punishment, really. She says she wanted to fire him, but there was a good chance that he would get his job back through arbitration.
Following the release of this incident and the reaction from our community, we understood that our collaborative decision on this matter wasn't enough. And I want to apologize to our residents, businesses, and everyone that has been impacted by this decision. Honestly, we tried to mitigate the possibility that the city would face legal retaliation and an overturn termination. It is clear to me now that that decision did not go far enough, and our actions this week are the only acceptable ones. There is absolutely no excuse for Derek Camrazel's behavior and actions. This has hurt our community and hurt our officers and eroded the trust that they have worked so hard to build with the people they serve.
Okay,
you never cared. You never cared. I'm sorry, Ursula. I don't know what you had to say, but I am losing my mind here because the mayor just admitted. She just admitted that even when you know that a police officer, you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And you still chose not to fire because you are afraid of the union. I'm trying to really put into words and have people, the same folks that want to email me and text me and say, gee, you're making a big deal. The mayor just admitted how hard it is to terminate a police officer for doing wrongdoing. Ursula, can you do me a favor and tell me when again this happened? Tell me when this happened, Ursula.
2020.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2022, and the mayor of Kent says, we realized that this was wrong. Are you going to continue?
They underestimated. If there wasn't this blowback, so if it hadn't been brought up by this watchdog group, essentially, it would have just been business as usual. Even though it was one of their detectives who said, this is wrong, and complained.
When are y'all going to stop peeing on my leg and telling me that it's rain? This is unbelievable, Ursula. I didn't know we were going to start off our Monday morning with this. She clearly says it. You should be embarrassed.
Well, they are saying they're embarrassed. They are saying they're embarrassed. I will give them this. They're doing a full mea culpa now. But had it not been brought up,
what's changed, Ursula?
Well, the outrage. Yeah. The outrage, and now they're admitting, you know what, we're going to end up having to pay. We're going to have to pay out because now they're telling him they want him to be, and the police chief, listen to this. So in this video, the chief Rafael Padilla says that Camrazel should leave the Kent police force.
I want to make it crystal clear that the actions of Derek Camrazel should have not happened ever. And that where we are today is that the only suitable resolution to all of this is that he no longer be a part of our police department, no longer be an officer with us.
Okay. So why didn't Chief Padilla, who we've reached out to numerous times, why didn't Chief Padilla do it at the time he had the chance to say Camrazel was untruthful? He's saying it now that Camrazel lied, but he had that chance. But he didn't find that, and because he didn't find that, he was able to let this assistant police chief keep his job. So now with all of this, they're basically saying now he cannot keep his job, but they're going to have to pay out a huge amount of money because it had already been decided. So you can't, under police union rules and under the rules that they've agreed on with the city, you cannot discipline someone after they've already been disciplined. So now it's going to be a huge payout.
I would love for the chief to come on our show.
And the mayor.
And the mayor. And here's why. until I get a better feeling, because I'm letting you know right now, I don't think things are fixed. I don't think at all anything's fixed. The only reason we are discussing this is because the public said, we don't like it. And when the when you heard from the public, then that's when it became a problem. It wasn't a problem before because you were worried about having to pay out some money. So until further notice, I don't think anything's fixed. That goes for the mayor and it goes for the chief of Kent police in the city of Kent. Coming up next, we talk about a Facebook post that I made that it was an accident, but it turned out to be really good. I made a mistake, but it turned out great. We'll discuss what that is next. Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Coming up at 10 o'clock, you know what it'll be time for? It'll be time for the top three things that you need to know at 10. And one of those topics is legislative session will begin today. So we got to talk about that. But right now, Ursula, we need to talk. And there's nothing more that I enjoy than throwing myself under the bus. I love doing that. And so over the, I think it was Friday, if you will, I think it was Friday of last week. There was a post that if you follow us on the G and Ursula Facebook page, you might have seen a post that basically said, hey, give us a review. Okay, so here's what happened. On our Facebook page, sometimes the analytics department, they send you things like, hey, this post is doing better than others. Hey, this post is doing this. You should pay for this ad and boost up your post here. Well, there was an ad, it was a post that said, hey, 78% of users enjoy to give an online review. You should ask for one. So I said, oh, okay. So I got on Facebook and I basically asked all of our listeners and Facebook followers and loved ones and family and friends to give us a review. I thought that there would be a link connected to it so people can actually review and give the stars. I didn't realize that the review deal was disabled, wasn't functioning at the time. So therefore, it just looked like I just put a post up and says, hey, everybody, give us a review and talk about us.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you.
Well, and I'm asking you, like, why are you doing that on a Friday afternoon? And you knew that I was, like, already so stressed out last week. I was like, the last thing I want to do is be now responding to people who are just, I hate you guys. And but that's not what happened.
No.
So for all of you who took the time to say something nice, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're not needy people. It was just, I think G was trying to boost our our number of followers on Facebook, and then that post came on. But there was one post that I want you to talk about because we said, hey, here's a chance to maybe teach. It was hurtful. It was the first thing that you sent me on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And I think we should talk about that, actually. And I responded to that person. I don't know if you saw my response.
No, I didn't. I didn't
to that
see
person.
It. No, I didn't see it.
And let's not use a name.
No, we won't use a name. And basically, I'm looking for it right now. And
I've got it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I've got it. Okay. So this person said, I love you guys, and I think you both bring your own unique strengths and talents to the show. But what I'm not crazy about is the rapper mentality dialect, I guess you can call it. Maybe it's just because I'm old and crusty and I don't understand it. How about something called classic English?
Yeah. And so,
and then this person was trying to make it clear. Please understand, no hate intended. I love you guys. But I think it was something that hurt. I know, well, it was.
I mean, I'll say this: it really doesn't hurt me personally, right? Because I'm going to talk like I want to talk. As a matter of fact, the more I do this show, the more comfortable I get with you guys. You know what I mean? But in this world, we live in a world of what we called, sometimes people, a lot of people have to code switch, right? And I would not be able to be where I am today if I wasn't able to dwell in spaces that are essentially all white spaces, right? To be able to articulate words a certain type of way, to speak a certain type of way. And then that way I get responses to say, oh, wow, you're so articulate. I love the way you are with your words. And the truth is when you say are articulate or you need to talk a certain way, what
like
way?
You need to speak classic English.
What's classic English? Like, we all have a dialect. We all talk and speak in different ways. Ursula has a way. She speaks a certain way. She laughs a certain way. Chris Martin, who's filling in with us today. Like, we all have different ways. And sometimes I believe that people think that just because you don't speak in a certain type of way, that you are less educated. Like, I can go on a rant right now and talk in a way where some of the words you're like, what did you just say? I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it's about. So when you do that, it didn't hurt me. I think it more hurts you because it makes you look a certain type of way. And if you're still in 2022 and you're saying, hey, I'd really like for you to speak in more of a classic English, I don't know what to tell you. I hope you don't teach that to your children.
Can I just say though that this person is not the only one who has alluded or said something to that, because on occasion we'll get that on a text message, and the idea is to tell G to act and be something he is not, and I think G, I'm just going to say it, you know, so everyone can hear, I think you are one of the most intelligent people I know, and I don't think you have to prove to anyone by changing the way you are and the way you talk to be acceptable to everybody. So that is one thing. There was another post, though, that someone else said that I thought was really cool, too, and it really touched you. So talk about that, G.
Yeah, that was a really cool one. And that was one that basically talked about how they have been listening to the show from the very beginning. And they basically talked about how what this show means to them. And they said this was, I don't want to say her name. It says, enjoy you guys. G, I have no black friends just because I don't know any. It is wonderful to get your point of view. You have opened my eyes to so many things. Thank you. And I want to be crystal clear. I don't speak for all black people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I argue with my family members. Like, us black people, we disagree on stuff all the time. As a matter of fact, Dre's, I'm on social media beefing with Dre's right now. We disagree. But I love to get those messages because it is true. There's some people who don't. I have cousins who don't know anybody that's white. And so sometimes it really helps when you have a diversity of different friends and cultures and walks of life, because it's really cool to learn things from other people.
And just be willing to learn. I think bottom line, be willing to learn.
That's it. All right. Coming up next, it's time for the top three things that you need to know at 10. And we'll talk about the legislative session starting today. G and Ursula.